soil is really cool. I mean, it just really is cool. I love soil. I don't know why. Being as though I am the geek from Ask the Garden Geek, and oh, thanks for listening. My name is Michael Gross. I have neighbors. I love my neighbors. I get along with all my neighbors. I don't have any neighbors I don't get along with. I'm friendly to everybody. Everybody's friendly to me. Like both my next door neighbors. People across the street, all pretty cool. There's a young couple, kind of catty-quartered down just a little bit. They live in a house that was owned by my buddy Bob, who sold the house to them so he could move to Alaska with his daughter. Weird. You leave paradise and move to Alaska. But he's, I gotta tell you, the Alaskan thing has been wonderful for him. But anyhow, this couple, I've kind of like, Bob asked me to keep my eye on them and help them out. And they're just a delightful couple. She's a school teacher. He works at a grocery store. And, they're just very, very, very nice. And they had some backyard issues that I have run into before. And for years, I've run into this. I've run into this in Michigan. I've run into this in New York. I've run into this in Indiana. I even saw it in Kentucky once. And, of course, here in Florida, where I live. And what has happened is we've been getting a lot of rain lately, lots of rain. And my yard is so green. I was just growing like constantly. And so is theirs, except for a section of their backyard, which right after all the rain, within a couple of hours, the one area just looks dry. Do you have a part like that on your lawn or on your property anywhere where everything just looks dry? Where, even if you got good irrigation, I've seen people who have really good irrigation in that one area. I said, got to adjust the sprinkler. Adjust the sprinkler. You see it's covering it? Does it? But in no time at all, it looks dry. What do you do? How do you do it? What's going on? Well, something's going on in the soil. And usually, it's just a bunch of organic matter that's just bundled together and just kind of tied itself up, and it isn't holding moisture. So how do you solve that? Well, let me tell you the way I used to solve it. I used to take a product, by the way, I'm trying to be environmentally friendly here. So I used to use one of two products. One would be Amway's LOC, totally biodegradable soap. And what I always told people to do is put it in a watering can. And like a 2-gallon watering can, you mix 6 ounces of LOC. In other words, 3 ounces of LOC per gallon, and you put that, and you just water that area with it. The other product you use that is equally as good is Shackley Basic H, okay? And then now here lately, I've not done this, but I have heard this, Dawn dishwashing soap. I use Dawn dishwashing soap myself to wash my dishes. Since I stopped using my dishwasher, it's just me here living here. When I had people living here, I used the dishwasher, and I was also lazy. Now I just, the other reason I didn't do that is because I didn't have a dish strainer. So I went and I bought a dish strainer, I used Dawn because I love it. Well, I've been told it is also equally as good and equally as effective. So I told them that. I said that, one of those things, and with either of those, put 2 ounces in a gallon of water and go out there. And they said, thank you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. About 2 days later, I'm walking out to my mailbox, and she comes over and says, Michael, come look. I'm going to show you what I did. What'd you do? She has very long hair. She goes, I'm a shampoo nut. I said, what's that mean? She goes, well, I try a lot of shampoos, and it's taken me years to, and I still constantly try new shampoos, and I don't like it, and then I'm just stuck with these. And she goes, I realize that I had about 15 bottles of shampoo that I, was not going to use anymore. I said, yeah. She goes, so I just took them all out there in that area, and I dumped the bottles of shampoo straight onto those areas and waited for it to rain. And I said, when did you do this? She goes, I just did it, and it hasn't rained yet. I said, let's go look. And I went out and looked, and there's this like globby mess of stuff. And I said, I really wish you hadn't done that. She goes, why? You said this. I said, yeah, but there's all kinds of weird stuff in shampoos that I don't know if it's good for the soil. Well, she goes, if it's good for my hair, it should be good for the soil. Don't you think? I said, that's a good question. I said, I know what's in those other products. I don't know what's in your shampoos. And, there's just all kinds of stuff. And I don't know if it's biodegradable. I don't know. I just don't know. And if you don't know, you don't know. And she said, I've done it. And I went out there, and you could just see this mess. I said, got a hose? She goes, yeah. I said, all right, let's drag the hose out there. And we drag the hose out there. And she's got this watering spigot on the end of it that's really nice. So it has a rain feature. So we just started, you know, watering it down. And she's saying, you're imitating rain. I said, yeah. And oh my gosh, you should have seen this. It's like her lawn is bubbling up and foaming. It's just, you know. She goes, I had some conditioner I was going to put out there too. I said, I'm so glad you didn't. But we did that. And it just seemed like I could never use enough water to get all of this stuff in. So I had to go. So I said, well, you know, it's going to rain this afternoon. It just almost always does. I swear, I hadn't gotten in my truck. I made it around the corner and the sky opened up and it was black. I could just see and the rains came. So I went about my business. I got home late. She was gone. Next day, I hear the knock on my door. It's her and her husband. She goes, you got to come over and look at this. So I went over there and looked at it. She goes, I said, you know, I didn't see any of the shampoo anymore. She goes, do you know what it's, what you don't see? I said, what is it that I don't see? And I'm sitting there saying, oh, I know what I don't see. It doesn't look dried out like it always did before. She goes, yeah, it worked. It was a miracle. I said, well, great. I said, I'm glad that worked for you. You used about $150 worth of shampoo, I'm sure. I mean, you know, some of these women's shampoos are very, oh, heck, men's shampoos are very expensive. I mean, very, very expensive. I use Pantene, it's a coconut oil, something or other, on my hair. And it's not cheap. It is definitely not cheap. So, you know, I said, oh, good. I'm glad that worked. And she goes, yep. She goes, I you know, you have solved the problem. I said, well, I didn't solve the problem. You kind of went, you know, you kind of went sideways on me and you know, you innovated. She goes, yeah, that's what we do. We innovate. I said, well, good. She goes, well, I'm real happy. I said, and the other interesting thing is you've got the cleanest and most manageable grass you could ever hope for back there. And she goes, yeah, that we do. So, but I still maintain, and I have no idea what the soil will look like, but I will tell you what I have done in the past. At my other house in Clearwater that I had years ago, I had a section of the backyard that was just always dry. Water it, rain, it just dried out immediately. I went out there and I used Amway LOC, and I used 2 ounces in a gallon of water. I had a 2 gallon watering can, so I used, you know, 6 ounces. And I just went out there and watered the stuff down and then, you know, let it kind of soak in by itself and then gently watered on top of that, and it solved the problem. But you see, I was curious. And I dug down into the soil after that, and the structure of the soil had changed. Now, before I did that, I forgot to mention that I had dug down into the soil, and I had a terrible time digging down into it. It was just hard. I'm a big guy. I was jumping on that shovel, and I had a hard time getting down. Afterwards, I just took it on there, tapped down, got down. The structure of the soil had changed rather dramatically. Now, how did I know to do all of this? I'm no special guy. I learned this from Gil Witten, who used to be the county agent. He was a legendary county agent, and he just knew stuff. And he said, this is what you use. He was using Shackley Basic H. And, you know, at the time, this is, oh gosh, in the 70s, my late uncle and a cousin were Amway distributors. So I bought Amway LOC from them. By the way, when you go to buy your Amway LOC, whatever you do, don't take an invitation to go over to their house later to learn about stuff, because these things never turn out well. They pop you with a join us on Amway thing, and I don't want to be an Amway. But I started using it back then. And then at that time, we had a lawn care company, and we were running into this a lot. And I was using the Amway LOC not only for that, but for spraying shrubs. It was just a really great material to spray shrubs with. And then my uncle says, oh, well, Amway's got this stuff. And what is it? It's Amway All-Purpose Spray Adjutant. And in those days, you could buy it in 1 gallon or 2.5 gallon jugs. So I bought a gallon of it, and we just started adding it to our liquid fertilizer spray mix. And I'm going to tell you, everything penetrated better, and the lawns looked better, the shrubs looked better. Then we started buying it in 2.5 gallon drums. or jugs. And then, believe it or not, we went to buying it in 55-gallon drums. It was a lot cheaper then. And it is a fine product. So if you have a lawn care company, you might want to consider adding that, especially if you want the soil on the lawns that you're taking care of to just be better. It's just better soil. It just is. It just changes it, makes it better. And I'm not an Amway distributor or, you know, a Shackley Basic H distributor. I'm just a garden geek. So give that a shot. Love talking about soil. Oh, hi, everybody. Welcome. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek. I am Michael Kroos, and for the past 30, almost 34 years, I've been on the radio talking about gardening stuff. Isn't that strange? And starting in November, I'll just be on the interwebs with the Ask the Garden Geek podcast, which is available now wherever good podcasts are heard. There's two versions of it now. One, the radio network puts this whole show out, and then there's another one that is different that I put out. It's usually part of this show, but sometimes it's not. But look for the one that is just mine, and you'll get just under 20 minutes of really good information, and we'll have a lot of fun there. And as radio wraps up, we'll be spending much more time on that. There will be interviews there and all kinds of other things that are not here. I stopped doing interviews on this show years ago, and but I'll be bringing the interviews back on the podcast. So that'll be fun and exciting. Very selective about my interviews, though. It's got to be people who can teach you stuff, people who can do stuff. Or maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe a hot lady gardener who I want to go out with. So I say, would you like to come on my show? I'm only kidding. I wouldn't do that. Well, I would. But anyhow, getting back to soils. I have a friend who lives, I'm trying to think, is it either three or four counties south of here? I think it's three counties south of here. And her and her boyfriend just bought a piece of property and that has a mobile home on it, and they're moving into it. They love it. And they sent me a picture of their yard, which it's a St. Augustine grass yard that, you know, looks like it hasn't been fertilized in a very long time. It looks really bad. It has an irrigation system. And she said they tested the irrigation system and it works fine. But, you know, what kind of fertilizer can you put on there this time of year? And I said, well, where I live, we're not allowed to fertilize right now. We're on a nitrogen ban. I said, is that the case where you are? She said, I'll call you back. She calls back. She goes, no, we can put fertilizer down. What should I get? Should I get Scott? I said, no, you want to go, especially in this heat. We have got tremendous heat, but we also are getting a lot of rain. But I say you want to go 100% organic. I say get Mill Organite. And, you know, what is the square footage? She said, well, the lot is 6,000 square foot. We got a double wide mobile home. We got a driveway. We've got an out shed out there, you know. And I'm thinking it's around 4,000 square feet. So you need to buy enough Mill Organite to treat 4,000 square feet. Just look at the bag. I said, I think it's a 38-pound bag. It should say on there. So she goes, well, can I put more than I need? I said, with Mill Organite, you can. You're not going to burn it. Her boyfriend went out and bought five bags of Mill Organite and dumped it on the yard, and then it's been getting rain. I spoke with him today, this morning, and he says, I meant to take a picture and send it to you. He said, but I can't even believe how quickly the yard has turned green. I said, well, that's because there's a lot of heat right now. So you're getting all of this biological breakdown, which is doing wonderful things to your soil. When you do wonderful things to your soil, it does wonderful things to the plants that are in the soil. And he says, wow, this is, you know, it was phenomenal. And that's what I like about the Mill Organite, because once it gets into the soil, all kinds of biological things start happening. Little things just start growing. And it's just, the soil says, ah, thank you so much for putting this on me. and the soil revitalizes itself, especially a yard like that, which has probably had years of nothing but chemical fertilizer put on it. So the soil has just got to be really depleted, and to go in there with strictly milorganite and being organic is just wonderful. Now they say, how do we get rid of the weeds? I said, let nature take its course for right now. Let's just absolutely let nature take its course. And he said, what do you mean? I said, as you are now feeding the soil is feeding the roots are getting thicker, the grass is getting thicker, and weeds, by the way, are never a problem. He goes, what? I said, weeds are the result of a problem. And in your situation, you had soil that was in terrible shape, a lawn that had not been taken care of, and I said, now you're solving those problems. You're really enhancing your soil, and you are really making the grass healthier. And as that happens, you're going to find it crowding out a lot of weeds. Now, get with me in the fall, and if the fall, let's assess it at that time. And I said, the lovely former Mrs. Kroos and I come down your way quite often. We would like to come down and see you, but we will come down and see you around October, if that's okay. Hey, that's great. Yeah, come on down. And I said, okay, we usually make day trips. We get up early in the morning. We go down there. We just scoot around and look at things. We'll come look at your lawn. And that's fabulous. So what I'm hoping is going to happen with them as the soil improves and as the nutrition in the grass starts to improve, the grass is going to get much healthier. And I find this happens a lot. And weeds are going to get crowded out because grass, good healthy grass, will always choke out weeds naturally. It's when you have a weakness in the grass that the weeds start invading. Any weakness in a plant makes it possible for predators to get in, be it weeds, be it insect, or disease. They always attack the weakest plant, which is always, almost always, the result of weak soil. The farmers from long ago knew. I mean, they just absolutely knew. You take care of the soil, you're taking care of the plants. That's, and we got away from that in the Industrial Revolution because we had to grow a lot of food. And so they started using chemical fertilizers. And it's okay. You need to use chemical fertilizers for massive food production so that we can all eat well. And I don't disagree with that. But you've also got to rotate plants, rotate crops, things like this, so you can, work on the soil and enhance the soil. And this happens. There's a lot of the ways that you can do this. And also going with an organic base really, really, really works well. So I read a big article out west with cow pastures that were being depleted and just looked terrible. This guy discovered that if he put compost, just did a compost, a manure compost, over all of the pastures, a dried out manure compost all over the pastures, that the pastures revitalized. And they did. And it became healthier and was reproducing more oxygen and healthier, healthier grass for the cows to eat or the horses to eat or whatever was out there eating it. So putting nature to work on this is always a good idea. Take care of your soil. Everything's going to be good. You got that? Hey, if you have any questions, make sure you email me. It's real simple. You email me at michael.kroos@gmail.com. I answered some emails this week, as a matter of fact. I always answer them personally, and some of them I talk about on the radio. So, email me. You'll get a response. You'll be surprised how fast you get a response, as a matter of fact, because that's what I do. I love to answer gardening questions by the email, michael.kroos@gmail.com. And I hope you're having a terrific summer. I am having a nice summer. It's okay. It's been hot, but we've been getting a lot of rain. I got roof problems. I got to deal with some roof problems here now. It's always something. Always something. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek. So the studio that I am now back in, the room in my house that is my studio, that was my studio, and then my son moved home, so it wasn't my studio, and then he went back with his girlfriend and moved out, and now I'm back in the studio, and I find myself rebuilding it and getting it ready for greatness. Well, you know, it always has been pretty good. It's not back to where it was before yet. There's a lot of work. I gotta tell you, disassembling the studio took me about 20 minutes. Putting it back together is taking days because I'm changing the way I'm doing it. We added television lighting in here. We're in the process. We've got it here. It's just not hooked up and set the right way it's gonna be. I wish I had my son Kyle down here because he works theater and he is a lighting specialist. But, you know, I'm conversing with them and getting advice. And we're going to be doing a lot more video work. We've done a little bit of video work, not for you, mostly for clients. But we're enhancing that now. So better camera, much better lighting, and of course, already got wonderful, wonderful microphones. The other thing that is missing is a new mixer. And the Rode has this Procaster wonderful mixer that I want to get. It's $600. And right now I don't have $600 because I've had other expenses. And I want to buy this thing in the worst way. I just want this thing like you would not. It wasn't available for a while. I played with one in March over at this convention that I went to called PodFest. And oh my gosh, I fell in love with it. Right now I go through my sound. Am I boring you with this? Some people say it's not, but my sound right now goes through a really good mixer. And then underneath the mixer, there is also a audio compressor that, you know, it goes through that, through the audio compressor back out, you know, to where I save the files to send them to the network. So you're getting, yeah. I never used to use the compressor before, but as I get older, I'm not real pleased with the voice. I'm okay with the voice. I got great pipes still. As a matter of fact, I have outstanding pipes, but they're not as outstanding as they were 5 years ago. But before I got sick and had all these surgeries, but you know, still good, but I use this compressor. The Rode Procaster mixer, it has a much better audio compressor than the separate audio compressor that I have now. And the second audio compressor I had right now was not a cheap piece of equipment. But the one in here is better than the one I have. Everything is better. The sound that comes out of there, when I did a 10-minute trial show over there just to see how it all went. And I got to tell you, when I listen to that audio, I go, it is just that good. So, yeah. Saving my dimes, and I'm going to buy that, but that'll come in here. But the studio is, you know, going to be nice. All this magnificent lighting. There's a little bit more sound deadening that's being installed even as we speak that was just brought over here today, as a matter of fact. It has to go on the walls. It's still, the sound's pretty good in here, but I just want to make a couple of tweaks to it and do a few things, and then we'll be ready to rock and roll, as they say. Hey, how's your gardening week? My gardening week has been, well, I can't mow my yard anymore. I've hired someone to mow my yard. I've got a little thing with dehydration that happens very easily with me right now, which we're still trying to figure out, going in for test on that. But I get dehydrated extremely easy. So I'm doing about 20% of what I used to do right now, and that is frustrating beyond belief. You have no idea. I used to, nothing gave me more pleasure than to go out and look at somebody's plant problems, get down, tear the dirt apart, you know, with my hands, you know, just get in there and do stuff and take a shovel. I mean, I was just doing that, you know, I can't do that right now. I get wore out fast. I take a lot of water with me and drink it. I, for a while, switched to Gatorade, thinking that would help, and it actually, you know, I was using Gatorade and Powerade and all of those things, and got to tell you, just, I was better with water. I was just much, much better with water. My chiropractor, Dr. Clark, is now giving me this altered water. What is it? It is a high pH. It's a 9% pH. He wants me to buy a $4,000 thingy to hook up to my faucet to make my own water. I said, I'm not going to do that. There's got to be a cheaper way. But I got to tell you, the water I'm getting from him is just fabulous. I could drink it all day. And I, you know what? It's weird. I don't have to pee, when I drink all that water with him. It just seems to get absorbed. Isn't that weird? And it seems to be helping. It actually seems to be helping. I don't know how long I'm going to con him into, bringing me gallons of water. But as long as he's doing it, I'm going to, keep drinking it. But I'm not going to spend $4,000 on this water machine thingy that he's got. Just not going to do it. Absolutely not going to do it. All right, I got a question about silkworms. And the question I got about silkworms, I'm almost tempted to call Truman Burst on this. They want to know what I know about male silkworm powder. Is it good? They say it is a good nutritional thing. Well, I know what a silkworm is, but I don't know anything about the powder. And I hesitate to even get into that. But I got a question about it, and the guy just wrote this long, drawn-out thing. He says he's taking these supplements that cost him $50 every 2 weeks, and he says his health is revitalized. He's 67 years old, and he says he feels like he's 25 now and all this stuff. I said, that's $150 a month you're spending on this. I said, I don't know anything about it. So if you know anything about it, send me an email. Let me know. I don't know. I don't think I want to eat silkworm powder. I just don't. I don't want to eat anything that has buggy stuff to it. You know what I'm saying? I just don't. I absolutely don't. Although I ate crickets one time. I was given this stuff. He says, try this. I was at a dinner, and this was like a gourmet. It was dead crickets, but it was roasted in the oven and it was seasoned, and I tried. Everybody else was trying it. I felt dumb not trying it, and it was tolerable. And they said that it's full of protein and all this other stuff. And I said, well, that's good. I'm just never going to eat it again. But I did eat it. I did give it a try. Didn't taste bad, but I did give it a try. I'm not going to do that. I'm just not. I used to, I don't mind bugs. I really don't mind. As a matter of fact, I used to have pet Madagascar hissing roaches that I had for a couple of years. And I've wound up, I had them when I was still married to the last Mrs. Crows. And when I moved over here, I decided I wasn't going to have a lot of time to deal with them because I had a lot of stuff to do here. So I gave them to a friend in St. Pete who promptly let them die. And I felt guilty about that because I used to take them to home shows and I would let people handle them and people loved them. I took pictures. I said, you want a picture of yourself holding a roach? And oh gosh, yes. So I would take pictures and then email the pictures to people. And I had this beautiful, beautiful woman take one of the Madagascar hissing roaches and stick it on her face. And they said, take my picture. I took her picture and she just loved it. She just absolutely loved it. But so I used to have roaches as pets, and I had five or six of them. And, that was nice. I enjoyed that. But I gave them to my friend in St. Pete, and he promptly let them die. He just let them die. I don't know how to tell you this, but all the roaches just suddenly died. And he didn't have a real good example. I kind of think his wife sprayed him with Raid. I don't know that. I don't know that right offhand. I do not know. But the next question that has popped up, and I do want to address this because I've been asked about an organic pesticide that I would recommend for spraying shrubs with. Well, let me tell you what I use mostly. Mostly I use soap. That is, I use insecticidal soap that is a fatty acid soap. I've also used Amway LOC, 2 ounces in a gallon of water. Spray it on plants for aphids. It works wonderful. It doesn't hurt the soil. It's very, very good. As far as an organic pesticide, if you need that extra punch to get rid of some scales or something that you really want to, and you don't want to use a chemical pesticide, I absolutely love Essentria. Essentria, I'll tell you where I buy it. I buy it on eBay or Amazon. I think the last batch I bought on eBay. It was cheap. My chemical supplier sells it, but I get it cheaper, believe it or not, I get it cheaper on eBay or Amazon. Amazon doesn't always have it, but I can usually find it on eBay. It has a minty flowery smell to it, which I absolutely cannot stand. But I cannot tell you how wonderfully effective this stuff is. It is. I just can't sing its praises enough. I've got a friend in the Dominican Republic who has a ministry down there that he's working on. And he was having all kinds of problems outside with hornets and things like that. I said, use a Centria. He ordered it, loves it. So you want to do container gardening. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Kroos. I am your chief geek. I got an email from a wonderful woman in the Kansas area, out in the sticks of Kansas. And she wanted to grow tomatoes in containers. And I've talked about earth boxes in the past. They're expensive. I've talked about building your own earth boxes. I've built a lot of them myself. It's really cheap when you do that. Her husband, she sent me pictures. Built her some rather beautiful containers to grow her tomatoes in, and he spent some money doing it, and she was asking me about what they, you know, where they should they drill holes for drainage, how should they handle the drainage. But as I looked at the pictures, I don't usually do this. They left their phone number and I called them. I don't, you know, usually call them, but I called them. And I spoke with her husband, who is very proud of what he had done. By the way, they look beautiful. They look stunning. And I said, let's talk about the wood you used. And he said, okay. He said, I wanted them to last, so I bought pressure-treated wood. I said, well, that's going to make them last. And he said, yeah, that's going to make them last a long time. I said, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to address your drainage issues first. And I made some recommendations about that. So, you know, that was handled and handled well. I basically had them duplicate the way an earth box is set up for that. I said, but we got to deal with this wood that you used. I said, I wish you hadn't used that. He goes, why? I said, because they use chemicals to pressure treat that wood. He goes, yeah, they do. I said, yeah, they do. I said, and that kind of leaches into the soil. He goes, oh, I don't want that. I said, okay. He said, so I should just tear them apart. I said, no, they're beautiful. They, you know, you've got some money, you've got some time wrapped in there. And he goes, well, what's the fix? I said, you need to go and get thick Mylar plastic to put in there, you know, almost the thickest you can get. I would get the stuff that they use for ponds, that I would, you know, fish ponds. And I would put that and I would coat the whole inside of it. And then I said, and where you have to drill the hole on the side for your drainage, you drill the hole in the side and then I would put a plastic fixture in there so the water is still not, you know, touching the wood. And he knew exactly what to do. So that is what he has done. And he went out and he then had my number. See, that's why I don't like to call people, because then they get my number. And he did call. He called me from Lowe's or Home Depot, someplace out there that they have. And he said, they've got this clear plastic that looks really good. And it's thicker than what they have, you know, for the ponds. And I like that better. Is that okay? I said, yeah, that'll work just fine. He goes, okay, I'm going to send you pictures after I do this. I said, okay, very good. He goes, this stuff is kind of expensive. I said, well, you know, that's better than starting all over again. So that is what he's done, and he got some PVC fixtures to put in where he's drilling the hole for the drainage. So that's going to go on there, which will cover the plastic and seal that where he has to drill that, and it's all going to work out, and I'm very happy for them. People who make raised bed planters, and sometimes they just build up the soil around their house, and they will put a wood border around it. Go with cypress. If you want to do wood, go with cypress. And that's going to last a long time. And it's not going to have chemicals that go into the soil. Or go with plastic. That's what I did for my vegetable garden that I had years ago. made a border around it. I went and bought this cheap plastic bordering stuff, and I just inserted that into the ground and put it around. I got to say, it didn't last long. It lasted about a season and a half, and the sun got to it. So I looked into it, and you know, actually, then I stuck cypress around there after that. But there are plastic borders that have UV protection on them, and they last longer. So that's also a good option. And then I had another listener one time who sent me pictures. They found this plastic PVC that came in rolls. And I don't know what it's used for, but it came in rolls. And it was about, I don't know, an eighth of an inch thick. But when you put it out, it was a foot tall. And when you put it up, it would stand up, you know, by itself pretty well. And he just dug a little trench, stuck it in the ground, filled it in, and put that around his and, you know, filled the soil in there. And it worked out wonderful. And that will last, you know, PVC should last years and years and years and years and years. And I've asked him where he got it, and he said he found it at a hardware store. And I've looked. I wanted to get some for a project that I was doing, and I couldn't find it around here. And then I finally found it at a sign company that makes magnetic or makes some kind of signs. They make plastic signs. So I found it there, but it was so expensive. This guy found it in an old hardware store. He didn't pay much for it. But for me to buy this for the project that I was working on in my old backyard, this was years ago, it was going to cost me outrageous amounts of money. So I abandoned it. But if you can find that, it works pretty well. Any kind of plastic for a, you know, on my cheap imitation earth boxes, the way I made those is I would go, I saw Lowe's had totes on sale, really cheap. And I went and I bought plastic totes at Lowe's. And I took that and we just duplicated the earth box technology into it. I took the tops that came on the totes and I drilled holes in them. And then I put that inside the totes. You know, I set that inside, pushed it inside the totes. Upside down, it would fit in there real well, and it made the little place where you would wick the water. And then I took a hose and I put it in there, and I cut out a little place for the hose to go down there. And I drilled a hole on the side to drain the excess water off as it wicked into the soil. And what we did, we absolutely duplicated. I made four earth boxes. My son Jamie and I made four earth boxes when that stuff was on sale, and our total costs for making four earth boxes to grow herbs in was something like $21. Yeah, I mean, it was outrageously cheap. And those boxes lasted for years. You know, long after I left there, she was still using those boxes. And, you know, made out of good, you know, plastic totes. Just seemed to work really, really well. So try to be innovative, try to do things like that. Because an earth box, the earth box alone, I think is $60 now. So we had $60 times four, and it cost me $27 total to make the whole thing. Probably costs a little bit more now, but this was 15 years ago. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek.